The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Ahead of his appearance at the Dublin Comic Con this weekend, I'm now joined by legendary actor Anthony Daniels, famous, of course, for his portrayal as C-3PO in the Star Wars franchise. Anthony, you're so welcome to the programme. Hello.
Hello. I love the legendary word.
Well, I think, in fairness to you, I think you've earned it, Anthony. So we're more than happy to give you that one. You're coming to Dublin.
I am coming to Dublin. And a curious thing, the last time I was in Dublin on stage was on March the 7th, 2010, with Star Wars in concert. So curious. I mean, the Force moves in mysterious ways. I'm back there on March the 7th this weekend, not with an orchestra, just me meeting the fans. And I've got to say a little shout out, because my biggest fan in the world is young Adam McLaughlin. And I'm really looking forward to seeing you, Adam. So,
well, I'm sure Adam is very excited to see you too. Is there a big and enthusiastic fan base here in Ireland?
Pretty strong, yes. And I kind of sad that I've only been there once before in terms like this, when I think I was advertising the sixth movie. Return of the Jedi. There have been so many names.
Six of 11, we should say. I mean, it's an extraordinary record, and one that I know, having listened to you speaking about this before, and in particular when you were promoting your book, I Am C-3PO, The Inside Story, you're incredibly proud of that legacy, aren't you?
I am, actually. And funny you should mention, I'm bringing a few copies of my book, as you kindly mentioned it, because I do talk about... I was 80 last weekend.
Congratulations and happy birthday.
Thank you very much. But it's 50 years since I first met George Lucas. So I have spent almost half my life so far talking about Star Wars. And yes, it's an immensely proud thing to talk about, because it matters to so many people. On a film set, it kind of matters because they want to make money out of it, make a successful movie and all that kind of thing, sell toys. But it wasn't until I met the fans a long time ago to begin with that I realised how much it matters to them. Mm. And especially Star Wars, it's a whole family thing. There's Adam, who I think is 10 years old, and he's part of the new generation of fans. So it's not over yet.
When you met George all those years ago, did he have the job of convincing you about this role? or what was that conversation like?
Well, it was really boring because I wasn't interested at all. I went there to be polite to him and to my agent. And, I wasn't into sci-fi or anything. I was a serious actor. And in my book, I Am C-3PO, I talk about a piece of artwork, concept art, in his office that absolutely changed my mind, because Ralph McQuarrie, the artist, had painted this face that absolutely touched me. And of course, the rest is history.
Mm-hmm. It certainly is. I was watching some videos last night online about the physicality of what you went through in the filming of the movies. It was no joke, Anthony. This was really hard going at times, right?
It was awful. It was dreadful in so many ways. But Claire, when the movie came out, I felt it was wrong of me to kind of spoil the parade by saying, you know what, you think it's, you're enjoying it, but do you know what I went through? Do you know how I suffered? Everything. So I kept pretty quiet about it, because you don't need to know how it's done. You just sit there and enjoy the movie.
You don't need to know how the sausages are made, do you?
No. Certainly don't.
You mentioned there about being a serious actor, and of course that's what you were. And you trained in law, didn't you, initially?
Yeah. Dreadful, dreadful. I mean, too many lawyers already, but I always wanted to be an actor. And back in the day, you know, we're talking 50 years ago, I kind of did what my parents suggested. I don't think that happens anymore. In the end, it was act or die, and there we are. And then, you know, there were several times in that suit that I thought dying would be easier. In the desert. In 1976, the hottest summer in history, before we even used words like global warming, we had standpipes in the street, we had melting roads, and there I am in that suit, that gold suit. Sweating away, very unattractive.
I mean, I'm sure you had many conversations with yourself and others about whether you had made the right call. I mean, here you were, a theatre actor, going down this path, you know, as this character who stayed with you for so long. I mean, did you manage to reconcile that with your professional sensibilities?
It's a very interesting question. Not many people are given, not many actors are given the sort of role that can stay with you for 50 years. And although physically it's a bit of a squeeze in the costume now, but on better days when my voice isn't so tired, I can still be C-3PO, and indeed am him on a regular basis. So my career as the Golden Droid continues even when I come back from Dublin. You know, it's more gigs coming up. I'm very lucky that George, who hated my performance. It is remarkable how the Force took over, and eventually he thought, well, okay, we'll use Anthony's voice. And that means that I have been in hundreds of vocal productions, whether they're Lego cartoons, which I love doing, or the last time I was in the suit was for Ahsoka, which is hugely popular.
When was that?
That was a couple of years ago. My sense of time is not great. 2 or 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a great treat. But, of course, next year is the 50th year. And I would imagine, and indeed I vaguely know, there are great, great things expected for the surviving members of the cast, because somebody did make the comment that I needed to be wrapped in bubble wrap, because sadly, you know, some of my dear friends have left this planet and, you know, become just wonderful memories.
Yeah, like Carrie Fisher, of course, who I know you were very fond of her, weren't you?
So everybody is and was and is, because, of course, the truism about being in films and whatever, you know, you never die. You'll be played on any kind of digital media forever. Not necessarily getting paid, of course, but that's another matter. but one is content now forever. And just as we watched The Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz, long after I'm gone, I'll be there. Not in black and white, but in full colour, gold.
A listener would like to know if you had any idea after the first film or during the making of the first film just how big this was going to be.
100% not. 100% not. First of all, we all thought the script was a bit rubbishy. Harrison, Carrie, Mark Hamill, certainly myself, but, you know, we all did it full on. The crude English crew, because, you know, it's a British film, very easy to forget. Hollywood kind of took all the accolades, but actually it was made in the United Kingdom, in Tunisia, but it was a mostly British crew, hugely skilled. And, you know, now film really is taking off in England again.
It's extraordinary.
Nobody understood George's vision or his method of working. I didn't know what was going on. It was a nightmare. I just kept learning the words and saying them.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, in fact, I completely forgot about being in it until I got a call to go to Hollywood to put my voice back on. And then it opened. Nobody told me it had opened. It opened in America. And nobody included me. Nobody said I was in it. I was kind of ignored. Then it came to England 6 months later. And actually, that totally changed the way films are promoted now. Now, with digital technology, you can open them pretty much worldwide at the same time.
Yes.
Back in then, you were sending spools of film everywhere. It was very analog, if you will. So everything's changed. And George created out of his mind this amazing thing, which we will celebrate in Dublin on Saturday and Sunday. Now, on Sunday, Your friend there, your listener, can come and actually attend, sit in the audience with me, having a Q&A and a chat about favourite, not so favourite stories. So yes, come on down. Are you coming?
I'm sure plenty of people will. Well, I'm sure I would love to go, and my children would love to go as well, which is the beauty of this, you know, that the legend continues. Yeah. Here's an interesting one. Would you like Star Wars to continue to use his voice and likeness using AI?
That's a very difficult question.
Isn't it just?
Isn't it just? Of course, looking back, I was the first visible form of AI ever, because, you know, as a robot, as a sentient speaking robot, I was artificial intelligence. The fact that there was a man inside, they tried to keep secret because they wanted to pretend that they'd invented something incredible. Bit mean, anyway. I kind of would prefer not, because, you know, as an actor, actually, do you know, I'm going to have to think about that, because I would like 3PO to go on. Mm-hmm. In the last film with J.J. Abrams, adorable, I suggested, rather than give him the kind of pathetic little parts he had in episode 7 and 8, why didn't we just kill him? And J.J. was shocked.
Can't kill him. You can't do that.
Well, you can melt him down. You can scrap. Oh, he's not listening. JJ said, not on my watch. JJ was not going to destroy this mythic figure. So, I'm very fond of 3PO. So I'm speaking in jest there. Actually, I wasn't, because, you know, sometimes if a show goes on or a character goes on too long, you can begin to lose, if there's yet another sequel, prequel, whatever, or another series, it can gradually peter away and you don't love it as much as you did originally.
Anthony, it's been such a pleasure to talk to you, and I hope you've a wonderful weekend in Dublin at Dublin Comic Con with all of the fans, including Adam, who I know is very much looking forward to seeing you. And if you want to hear more about Anthony Daniels' story, his book, it's out for a little while now, but it's a fascinating read. It's called I Am C-3PO, The Inside Story.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.